الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد الله سبحانه وتعالى said يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned the issue of practicing Islam. And in this connection, I want you to remember two things. Number one, selective obedience is actually disobedience. Selective obedience is actually disobedience. Because when somebody is selectively obeying something, what is he saying? He's saying, I will obey this and I will not obey that. Automatically. So selective obedience is disobedience. And second thing I want you to remember is that the sunnah is not optional. The sunnah is not optional. The sunnah is the methodology of following the Quran. It hasn't been left to us to follow the sunnah if we wish and to leave it if we don't wish. Or to follow this out of the sunnah and that out of the sunnah. No. The sunnah is the methodology of implementing the Quran, of following the Quran. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ in Surah Nisa. Allah said, the one who obeys the Prophet has obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ the one who has done ita'at of the Rasul, the one who has obeyed the Rasul, فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ that person has surely obeyed Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further said, what did he say? The best example for you is the life of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point I want to make is that somewhere we seem to have got this wrong notion into our minds that it has been left to us how much of the deen we want to follow, and whatever we follow, we are doing ihsan on Allah. And Allah should be grateful to us that we are following this much. And what we don't follow, it is our wish. Please understand, as I said earlier, we made a choice. Nobody forced us into Islam. Nobody compelled us into Islam. And nobody is compelling us to stay in Islam. The door is open. Anybody can leave Islam at any point in time. There's no compulsion. Nobody will compel you to enter Islam and nobody will compel you to remain in Islam. Most welcome, go away. But if you decide to stay, then there is a way of staying. If you decide to stay, there is a method. It has not been like anything else. Just think about this. If you are working in a cycle repair shop by the roadside, or if you are working in a, you know, when you drive in India, you find these truck repair shops with a little dhaba attached to it and so on. If you are a little urchin who is working in that dhaba, even there are rules. Yes or no? Even there, in that little miserable place, where you are one street urchin who are working in that place, even there are rules. You have to do what the owner of that dhaba tells you. You have to do what the method, whatever the norm of that place is. And you can't decide, no, I will do this, I will not. No. He will kick you out. He will throw you out. So how do we imagine that in a great religion like Islam, there are no rules? And it has been left to us to do whatever we want. If it was to be left to us to do whatever we want, why do we need the Islam at all? For what? Why do we need religion at all? There's no need. Then do what you want. Somebody wants to pray, alhamdulillah, let him pray. Somebody doesn't want to pray, let him not pray. Somebody wants to, you know, act like this or dress like that or look like this, let them do. The whole point of religion gets vitiated and gets negated and gets deleted from the mind if you apply this issue of saying, do what you want. So let us understand this. We had a choice and we made the choice. And what was that choice? To enter Islam or to leave Islam. And alhamdulillah, biiznillahi ta'ala, we made that choice of entering Islam. Nobody forced us. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, one of the brothers, he accepted Islam in this masjid. Alhamdulillah. Nobody forced him. He came, I don't know. I didn't even know who the guy was. I did not know whether he's a Muslim or not Muslim. He came yesterday, said, I want to take Shahada. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. I mean, I thought you are a Muslim already. Because he's been praying here Jummah after Jummah. So who forced him? Nobody forced him. He decided to enter Islam. Now that he has entered Islam, he says, no, but you know, I'm used to doing this, so I will do that and I will not do this. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. Nobody forced you to come into Islam. But if you come into Islam, then you do what Islam tells you to do. I want us to understand this very clearly. And not get confused and not go here and there, run around. That is why I decided the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. The ayah is addressed to the Muslims. O you who believe, O believers. If you are already believers, how do you become a believer? By entering Islam. So Allah does not know what He is talking about or what? He is saying believers enter Islam. What is the meaning? Confusion? Allah has confusion, na'udhu billah? Or we have confusion? If you are to be a believer, you have to enter Islam, yes or no? Yes. So if I'm already inside Islam, then what is the meaning of saying enter Islam? Udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan. Allah says enter Islam completely and fully. You only walk through the door. You said, Tashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, all that means is that you walk through the door. That's all. It just means that instead of being outside the door, now you are inside the door. But there is a whole lot of other things to do. What about applying Islam in your walking and your talking and your life, in your society, in your dealings, in your manners, akhlaq, in how you look, in how you dress, in how you worship, what is in that worship, what is the state of that worship, in what we eat and what we don't eat, in what we do and what we don't do, in what we look at and what we don't look at, and what we listen to and what we don't listen to, and so on and so on and so on. Islam is there in every aspect of our life. If I am a head of state, there is Islam for me. If I am a slave, there is Islam for me. If I am sitting in a prison, in the jail, may Allah protect us from all of that. There is Islam for me. May Allah protect us from all of that. Please understand, I am not only talking about the jail. May Allah protect us from being heads of state. That is one of the biggest fitnas in the world. But there is Islam. There is something that Islam has to say with regard to how you are going to be in that state. Udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. And what is the meaning of how do I enter Islam fully? What does it mean? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That is how you enter into Islam fully. وَمَنْ يُطِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. The one who obeyed the messenger, truly and surely he obeyed Allah. Oh Allah, you told me enter into Islam fully. How do I do that? Do what my Nabi did. You want to know how to look, what you should look like? Go look at the face of the Nabi. You want to know how you should dress? Go look at the dress of the Nabi. You want to know how you should behave with your wife? Go and see what the Nabi did. You want to know how to be a father? Go see what the Nabi did. You want to know how to be a head of state? Go and see what the Nabi did. You want to know how to command an army? Go see what the Nabi did. You want to know how should I behave in my own house, in the kitchen? Go see what my Nabi did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a life that does not have a parallel. He gave him a life which was so complete. So complete in every aspect of humanity that it has no parallel. I'm not making a statement of aqidah, of a statement of i'tiqad, or a statement of love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, I'm making a statement of fact. Even somebody who does not love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to say this. There is no alternative for that. Because there is no other life where a man lived in every single aspect of what a human being can live in. He was a trader, he was a general, he was a commander-in-chief of the army, he was the head of state, he was a son, he was a father, he was a husband. He was every aspect, domestic, inside the house, outside the house. Why? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make him just a head priest and say, well, you know, he's a Rabbi, he is connected with Allah, all you need to worry about is the rituals of worship. Here is the head priest, he will teach you, khalas. Rest of it, take care of yourself. Because that is not Islam. Because that is not Islam. Islam is not restricted to inside the masjid. Inside the masjid is one aspect of Islam. But Islam is spread over every aspect of our lives. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his Nabi this complete jameh life, complete, total, complete life, which was to be and is and will continue to be till the day of judgment, a beacon of guidance for anyone who wants to know how to enter Islam fully. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. The tafsir of this ayat is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The tafsir of this ayah is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. How do I enter Islam fully? Go look at the life of my Nabi. And that is why I said selective obedience is actually disobedience. And the sunnah is not optional. The sunnah is the method of implementing the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our minds and hearts to this, inshallah. Next Jummah, the khutbah is on this issue of obedience, inshallah. So we'll look at it in detail. But for the moment, I invite you and I remind myself, let us look at our own lives. I don't have to sit here and point and mention specific things. You know and I know. Let us look at our own lives and examine every part of our life and say, is this part of my life on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? And if it is not on the sunnah, bring it onto the sunnah. Because if it is not on the sunnah, there is only one reason. Or two reasons. One, you did not know what the sunnah is. So accidentally something went wrong. Alhamdulillah, make tawbah, find out what the sunnah is and bring it back. The second one is, you know what the sunnah is, but deliberately you are disobeying the sunnah to please your own nafs. My brother, seriously, 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 don't die in that condition. Wallahi, I'm telling you, I'm sitting in the masjid on the musalla after Salatul Fajr and I'm telling you very clearly and requesting you to remind yourselves, do not die in that state. Because if you die in that state, you are dying in a state of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, you don't want to die like that. You do not want to die like that. So examine your life. Any aspect of your life, every aspect of your life, and say, is it on the sunnah? And if it's not on the sunnah, bring it onto the sunnah. And don't worry about what your friend will say and what the world will say. Your friend and the world is not going to come into your grave. What they say or do not say is not worth one whit. Makes absolutely no difference. Forget them. Do what you know is right. And if you don't know, in some case you have a doubt, go and find out. Go and find out. There's no secret. Everything is known. Go and find out. And ensure that our lives are completely and totally on the sunnah. Because that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent for. And those who believe in the kalam of Allah must believe in what Allah has said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this very specifically for us. So I end again with the same two statements. Selective obedience is disobedience. And the sunnah is not optional. The sunnah is the way of implementing the Quran. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.